Our next lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the fourth chapter. You can find this page 785 if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. This is a story of Jesus calling his first disciples, different from the one that we read last week. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been written through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, light of the minds that know you, and life of souls that love you, strength of the thoughts that seek you, bless us, we pray. Amen. So the question for today is, how do we become followers of Christ? It's also the same question that we asked last week. And we have in these 2 weeks two different versions of ways that we come to follow Christ. Last week we heard in the Gospel of John that the first followers of Jesus went off following him without having met him yet. They went on the word of someone else who was pointing out that Jesus is the one who will make all things new. And we noticed also that Jesus did not invite them or call them or even notice them until after they'd started following him. This week, we have a different version of the same thing, how the first disciples came to follow Jesus. Here, though, Jesus sees them, two of them at first, and at least one of those was the same person, Andrew. Jesus sees them, he notices them, and simply says, "Follow me." And it seems just as simply they do. And then he, Jesus, does it again. Two more people, "Follow me," and they do. As I said last week, I love that we get different versions of how the disciples came to follow Jesus and hang out with him, because that's how it still is for us. We come to follow Jesus in different ways. These two versions, though, can be summed up like this. Sometimes we are curious about Jesus, and so we start out after him. And sometimes Jesus is curious about us and issues the invitation, first. And there are, of course, other versions, because perhaps yours doesn't fit into either of these. But what is the same and is the most important is that it is Jesus whom we follow. That we don't just consult the Word of God, the Bible, to affirm our own biases, but that we look for the living Word of God, capital W, who is Jesus, and we follow his call on our lives. Sometimes I wonder if we get it backwards. We decide what we want to do, and then we invite Jesus to tag along with us. Because being a Christian does not mean that we seek out Jesus and ask him to participate in what we are doing. Rather, the Christian life is about Jesus' call on our life and then our response to that. Now, this seems that it was easy for Peter and Andrew, James and John, because it was clear to them who Jesus was. After all, he was right there in front of them, living, breathing, walking, talking. It's not so easy for us, I don't think. How are we supposed to know what Jesus' invitation or voice or call sounds like or looks like when he's not right in front of us? Well, here are just three features of what I think Jesus' call looks like. It will always be in line with his teachings of love and acceptance and generosity. Second, it will often cause you to go against the grain of what is popular or culturally expected. And third, sometimes it will require you to leave behind a way of life or a place or a person. In our reading, Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom is near." The word repent really only means turn around. It doesn't have the weightiness that we often apply to that word. The Greek says simply turn around. The fact that the first four disciples left behind nets and boats and fathers and families is a sign that following Jesus is not always convenient. In fact, if anything gets in the way of our following Jesus, we are supposed to leave it behind. Our careers, our material possessions, our families should function in the service of God's mission and the furthering of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Understanding our lives in this way is to recognize that God calls us. Each and every single one of us, he calls us. And he calls us in different ways. Some years ago, a colleague of mine participated in a research grant on this topic. And one of their findings was that very few Christians actually felt called by God. That is, very few believed that what they did with most of their time, that mattered to God and the church, or that it made a particular and meaningful difference in the world. They discovered in this research that many Christians have a hard time seeing a direct connection between what they do and what they believe, which is why it seems they don't feel called. But what if we turn around our thinking on that? What if we stop focusing on what we do and consider who we are? Maybe God's call isn't simply to do something, but rather to be something. And that would be a child of God. Maybe being comes before doing. Maybe being even makes the doing possible. possible? I wonder, is that what made it possible for John the Baptist to proclaim the coming of Christ and challenge the powers that be, even when it meant his imprisonment and eventual death? Is it that he knew God had called him to be the forerunner for Christ? I wonder if, is it that that summoned such an immediate response from Peter and Andrew and James and John that they felt called to be more than they had imagined? They probably have no idea what being fishers of people means. But they do know that Jesus sees something in them, something of value and of worth. They have no idea where they will go, what they will do, but they do know that Jesus is calling them to be his disciples, and they trust that the rest will become clear in time. So, my friends, hear God's call on your lives, that you are called to be children of God. And what this means is that God values and loves and honors you. And as you grow more and more in your identity as God's children, you will discover over time all kinds of things to do in response to that. Because, in fact, everything we do can be done with this sense of call. We are followers of Christ in all that we do. Think about it. We don't just follow Christ in some areas of our lives and not in others. I think I'll be a Christian parent, but not a Christian coach. Or I think I'll be a Christian employee, but not a Christian friend. No, we are Christians in all that we do. Martin Luther, writing 500 years ago, had a lot to say about this sense of understanding our whole lives to be called by God. He wrote a lot about what people do for their jobs. And he says this: "The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship." That's what it means to be Christian in our work lives. But I imagine that most of your doing, that is living out your calling, will come through your relationships. But this calling isn't only for us as individuals and the people we come across in our week and our days, but it's also for our life together as the church. I believe God is calling us to be the gathering of God's beloved children, to be a place of welcome and acceptance, to be a sanctuary where God's word is taught, the good news of the kingdom is proclaimed, and all find healing. Who we are is what we will do. The church, the faithful church, is not an end in itself, but rather the means through which God works out his purposes here on earth. We might not get Jesus walking past our houses while we're working in the garden or shoveling snow. Jesus probably won't be walking in the halls of our schools or our office buildings and saying, "Hey, put down that file, close your laptop, come and follow me." The Jesus on earth that we get is this, is you, the church. And this is where and through which God is continuing to work his miracles and provide healing. The story goes about the camp counselor who was leading a group of little children on the topic of the church. He asked the children to draw a picture of the church. He assumed that they would draw a picture of a church building, which most of them did. But there was one 8-year-old girl who did not. Instead, she drew 5 pictures on her one piece of paper. In the upper left corner, she drew a picture of a woman in a hospital bed with people surrounding her. She explained that that was her grandmother, and that the people around her were the pastor and the people from the church who were praying for her healing. In the upper right-hand corner, she drew a picture of a can. She said that there were hungry people in the world, and God does not want people to be hungry, and so the church shares its food. In the bottom right corner, she drew a picture of a group of people playing. And in the bottom left corner, she drew music notes with people of all different colors and different shapes. She said that God loves all people and that the church gathers to sing thank you to God. And then in the middle of the paper, big enough to invade all these other 4, she drew a big heart. And she said, God is love. And we are supposed to love God and to love everyone. Being and doing. That's a church which is following Jesus. May it be ours as well. Amen.